It's Saturday the 12th of June and I'm back in the centre of Hull in Queen Victoria Square, and a solemn message to preach today. It's a very unruly city that I'm living in, and that's not surprising because in days when we have a complete breakdown of truth and complete breakdown of morality in our land, lawlessness must follow. The Bible says that the wrath of God is revealed from all, heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. So here I am, and there's a small protest just across the way against Israel. Now, without getting into details and without justifying anything that Israel does, Israel is appointed by God to be a timepiece for the end days, and one day the day will come when the Jewish people are saved by the grace of God and they are beloved for the Father's sake. We're to pray for the Jewish people, we're to pray for the Palestinians as well. So we are to uphold the truth in all situations, to preach Christ to every creature. There was a discussion this week by Christian Concern in one of their online meetings, and they were saying that churches should get out and hold their services in the open air because people aren't coming to church, because people need to hear the gospel. Well, I'm all in favour of that. I'm all in favour of churches holding open air services every single day. This isn't a time for us just to try and uphold a historical status quo where we go to church twice on a Sunday and once in the midweek if we're more committed. This is a time to get out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all those that believe. I mean, what kind of a cause do we espouse? A cause that we can just go out like mice? Or a cause that we should go out like men and women of God? This gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all those that believe. I believe it. If we hold our services in the open air, that's good, but it's no good if we're not preaching repentance. And it's no good if we're not expounding the scriptures, and it's no good if we're not telling people the way of salvation. Because we know there's only one way that we can escape from the wrath to come. We know there's only one person who can save us. Well, this little intro was for Christians who will hear and others who will hear what I have to say afterwards if this goes up on the internet. But I make no apologies for saying what I've said. And I am absolutely powerless apart from the grace of God to preach the gospel today. And I commit myself to Him. I'm going to read the Bible, which is the Word of God. I'll just pray very briefly. I'll read the Bible, then I'll pray again, and then I will preach from the verse which I've decided to preach on, which I believe God wants me to preach on today, and you may be surprised. Father, bless this reading of your word. May it go forth with power, and may there be conviction accompanying it, because it is your word, and may this wicked generation turn from their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So I commend myself to you now, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So I'm reading from Genesis chapter 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. There's a lot of noise coming from the right there, and some kind of protest coming. So we may not be able to read all of this. So I'm actually going to, because I think this is going to be difficult, I'm going to just cut the reading short there and start now on verse 24. And we come to verse 24, which says, "Then the Lord rained upon..." It's just possible I'm preaching this to... No, it's a Free Palestine march, and it looks like it's going to be noisy. Well, we can be noisy with God's help. "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven." Okay, so just for those who are listening to the tape, about 20 people being very noisy and with a loudspeaker are chanting slogans against Israel. On the right there, they're flying Palestinian flags. Of course, they're not, I don't think, breaking the law by doing that. So, but I still must preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and by God's grace I will do this. I said 20, there's quite a few more arriving now, quite a few. So, we carry on. And this we pray. Father, the gospel has to be preached. Whatever protests are going on, whatever people are doing, the gospel has to be preached. And I pray that you would give preference to your gospel here in Hull City Centre today. I pray that I might find grace to preach Christ Jesus and Him crucified. And I pray that you would help me, Lord Jesus, to stand up for the truth and to honour your name. Oh Lord, have mercy upon me, I pray. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Grant unction and liberty, especially strengthen a body, mind and voice. But above all, Lord, dependence upon you. And I pray that this verse in Genesis will be preached now faithfully and to the glory of your name. Well, I'm here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to declare that there is salvation in no other name. Only in the name of Jesus Christ can we be saved from our sin. He is the one who has been appointed by Almighty God to be the Saviour of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary, who loved sinners, who laid down his life for sinners, who gave himself for sin. Now the Bible says that without the shedding of blood there is no remission. And when it says that, it is saying that we cannot be saved unless there is a sacrifice for our sins. But it cannot be any old sacrifice. It must be the sacrifice whom God has appointed. It must be the sacrifice that God has appointed. And that sacrifice is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Looks like we're going to have to go full volume today, with God's help. Now the Bible says here in Genesis chapter 19, 24, these words, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone. I can't take one just now, sir. I have to carry on with what I'm doing. Okay. Then the Lord rained for upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And I'm going to read that again. It is so important to us today that we fear the Lord, because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you see, we live in confusing days, difficult days. But you see, here we are in Genesis chapter 19, verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. God did that. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. God made sure that there was no remembrance of them under the heavens. You see, even archaeologists today will tell you that they think perhaps Sodom and Gomorrah are buried somewhere near the Dead Sea, but nobody really knows where Sodom and Gomorrah are. So great was the destruction of Almighty God against Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, there is a wrath to come also. There is also a judgment to come. There is a day when God will judge the world in righteousness through that man whom he has appointed. That man is Jesus Christ, who is raised from the dead by the power of Almighty God. Now you see, the Bible says God rained fire, rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord. You see, God, the Bible tells us, is angry with the wicked every day. And if he rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah for their wickedness, Sodom and Gomorrah for their impurity, Sodom and Gomorrah for their idolatry, Sodom and Gomorrah for their sexual immorality and their lusting and all of their wicked and evil ways, Then why should God spare hope in these days? Why should God spare hope? Because Hull is a city, a generation, a town that is full of those who have forgotten God, who have cast off the knowledge of God. And we in this city have become even like Sodom and Gomorrah, even like those cities which God sovereignly destroyed by his almighty power. There is only one way we can escape the wrath to come. There is only one way we can flee the wrath to come, and that is to turn to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And incidentally, the Bible teaches us that salvation is of the Jews, because Jesus Christ is a Jew. And at the moment, this moment in time, most of the Jewish people who are beloved of God are not familiar with their Saviour, with their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible assures us that the day will come when all Israel will look upon him that they have pierced and mourn. They will receive the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of grace and supplication has yet to be poured out upon the people of Israel, upon the Jewish people. And when that Spirit is poured out, my friends, they will see Jesus Christ for who he is, the Saviour of the world, the Saviour of all those who put their trust in him, the Saviour of the Jews. Salvation, the Bible says, is of the Jews. But the Bible also tells us concerning the Jews of Jesus' day, he came to his own and they received him not. You see, Jesus Christ, my friend, is the Saviour of the world. And if we don't find him, yes.
Are we in our last days?
Yes, we are. And very, very soon Jesus Christ will return. But there are many, many terrible things that will come upon the earth. And you know, I think all of these lockdowns and all of these viruses and all of these vaccines, I think they're just the beginning of sorrows. I think, sir, we are in big trouble as a world, as a nation, and this city of Hull. And we need to turn to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. You see, if Jesus returned today and you don't know him, you would be in your sins, and he would cast you into hell in your sins. You see, he knows your heart.
We're all sinners at the end of the day, though, aren't we? I mean,
yes, indeed.
And following the Bible, necessarily.
Yes, yes, we're all sinners, but to be a sinner is to be an enemy of God by definition. Sin, by definition, is rebellion against God.
I'll let you have a book there anywhere. You take care.
Find Jesus, sir. Find Jesus. Find Jesus before he arrives and chases you in his displeasure. You see, Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. He is the Saviour of the Jews, and he is the Saviour of the Gentiles. Throughout the whole world, there is only one Saviour. Throughout the whole world, there is only one who can deliver us from the wrath to come. And it is only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now I read this verse again from the book of Genesis in the Bible. The book of Genesis in the Bible, where we read in Genesis chapter 19, verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Hull is like Sodom and Gomorrah. Hull has committed the very same sins that Sodom and Gomorrah has committed. And Hull as a city is under no less deserving of the judgment and wrath of Almighty God. Oh, the mercy of God, that he would send a preacher to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to declare that there is salvation in no other name. For there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. It is through Jesus Christ alone, or not at all. We are either saved through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, or we will be damned to eternal torment in hell fire. Because there is a wrath to come, and there is a judgment to come. Now you see, God rained down fire from heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah. We read that they were exceedingly wicked before God. He went down to see their wickedness and he destroyed them. And what if God were to come down in Hull today and to look at the sexual impurity, the sexual immorality, the violence, the cursing, the swearing, the stealing, and all of these other things? What if God were to come down in Hull today? There is only one God, my friends, and he is a holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ is God the Son. And he became flesh and dwelt among us. You see, people from the march are now turning around and looking at me and listening. And this is good news. I really want them to take this on board. You see, there is a wrath to come. There is a judgment to come. And Jesus Christ is the second person of the Holy Trinity. And he came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost, sinners like you and me. Because God looks at the heart. You see, it wasn't just Sodom and Gomorrah that were full of wickedness. Every human heart is full of sin and corruption and wickedness and rebellion against Almighty God. That is why we need a Savior. That is why we need deliverance. That is why we need mercy. That is why we need to be delivered from the wrath to come. Now you see, God says in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 24, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. God rained brimstone and fire on Sodom. We are a footstep away from hell. We are a footstep away from the eternal fires and the eternal torments of hell fire. We are a footstep away from the eternal torments of hell fire and damnation. The very God whom we have offended, he holds our breath in his hands. And him we have not honored. Because the eternal God, the God who reigns over the heavens and over the earth, he is the eternal God, is angry with us on account of our sin. And his judgments will surely come. We cannot live forever in this world. We must die. And if we die in our sins, if we die without Jesus Christ, we cannot be saved. And you see, God sees the wickedness of Sodom. He saw the wickedness of Sodom. He saw the wickedness of Gomorrah. And we are like Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, even this very week, it's been widely reported in the press that so many girls in our schools are being sexually assaulted, they no longer even bother to report it. There were girls who were saying that 11 times a night they were being solicited by boys for naked images. Hello, my friends. Naked images. And this is a terrible thing. It's a sign of a generation. And I've got one, thank you. It is a sign of a nation. It is a sign of a nation that is under the wrath of Almighty God. We have cast off knowledge. We have cast off instruction. When you see our young people, our children are running amok, and not only amok, they're running amok sexually because they are exposed to all of these wicked things because we have forgotten God, because we do not like to retain him in our knowledge. And you know, because of this, it's not that the next generation will have greater problems. There won't be a next generation. God sees it. He sees our ungodliness. He sees our unbelief. He sees our wickedness. And they're now saying that even 4-year-olds in the schools are going to be asked what sex they want to be, as if sex was something you could choose. This is madness. This is nonsense. You cannot change sex, and you cannot be a member of the opposite sex. And to tell children as young as the age of 4 that they can change sex and they can be a member of the opposite sex is horrible state-sponsored child abuse. State-sponsored child abuse. You cannot change sex. And then we have the evil, terrible sin of abortion, which God calls the shedding of innocent blood. The shedding of innocent blood. Because the blood of those unborn children who have been aborted ruthlessly, some of them burned with salt solution, some of them cut up with knives and curetted with a vacuum. God is the one who sees it, and he calls it the sin of the shedding of innocent blood. Oh, these are wicked days. These are evil days, and we are watching an unraveling of our society. You know, if I had daughters, I would be terrified as to what happened to them in school. If I had sons, I would be horrified as to what they might get up to, because the restraints have been removed and they've been cast off, because we say we will not have God to reign over us, and we will not have the Lord to be our God, and we will not follow Jesus Christ. Oh yes, we want our Netflix with all its wickedness and its blasphemies. We want our Amazon with all of its lesbianism, which it promotes aggressively all the time. We want our other social media, which silences anyone who disagrees. In an age of freedom of speech, there is no freedom of speech. But my dear friends, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he is the Savior of the world. And those who put their faith in Jesus Christ will never be put to shame, because he is the Savior of the world. He was hung upon a cross. He was nailed to a cross. He was lifted up between the heaven and the earth. And I remind you that salvation is of the Jews, of the Jewish people. Because Jesus Christ is a Jew, today he is seated at the right hand of God, on the very throne of heaven, in glory, in all the glory that belongs to God alone. And Jesus Christ is that Savior of the world. Oh, put your faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, turn from your sin. Turn and believe on the only one who can deliver you from the wrath to come. There's no one here today, my friends, no one here today whom the Lord Jesus Christ will not meet with, will not save, will not rescue from their sins. If only you will repent, if only you will call on God for mercy and cast yourself on Jesus Christ, then you will find that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. You know, there is a wrath from God coming upon Hull. There is a wrath from God coming upon this city. There is a wrath from God like the wrath of God against Sodom and Gomorrah. Because the Bible tells us that God is going to destroy this world with fire. And that includes Hull. And it includes all the cities of the nations. But oh, my friends, we need to flee. The question in the Bible isn't... Well, the question in the Bible is very personal. It says, what will you do in the end? Not the person standing next to you. Not your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, or your children. What will you do in the end? Because when we come to Jesus Christ for salvation, we come to him alone. We come to him by ourselves. We come to him in our sins. And we cast ourselves on him, on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and we say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. A helpless sinner, a vile sinner, a corrupt sinner, a sinner worthy of the judgment of God, a sinner unworthy of heaven, a sinner unworthy of the mercy which comes from God, a sinner worthy only of damnation and hellfire. And there is a hell to come, a wrath to come, a judgment to come, and we need to flee from it. We need to repent. We need to turn. Listen to these words. Listen to these words from Genesis 19:24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. It was the fiery, terrible, final judgment of Almighty God against the obnoxious, wicked, rebellious, idolatrous cities of Sodom and of Gomorrah. And his judgments were poured out from heaven. You see, God sees the wickedness of our generation. The loss of restraint, the giving over to sexual immorality and sexual impurity of every kind. He sees a generation that thinks that sex is all that there is. And the kinkier and the more perverse, the better. This is wickedness. This is rebellion against Almighty God. And oh, we need to turn from our sexual immoralities and our sexual impurities. Because we have become like Sodom and Gomorrah, and the wrath of Almighty God is aroused against us, and his judgments are righteous, and he is holy, and he is pure, and he is infinitely powerful. You see, God's power, my friends, God's power exceeds the power of the whole universe. God made the universe. He made everything in it. He knows the name of every single star in the heavens. But God made man for his own glory. And the God who holds our breath in his hands, him we have not honored. We have not glorified him. We have broken his commandments. We have transgressed his law. And we are guilty before Almighty God. We are not worthy of mercy, but only of hellfire and damnation. And no one preached on hell more than the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we might be warned. Warned to flee from the wrath to come, my friend. Because you have an undying soul, and because you have a sinful heart, you need a Saviour. And Jesus Christ is that Saviour. You won't find anybody else.
Yes,
the five solas. Thank you, my friend. The five solas, the heart of the Reformation. God bless you, my friend. Not many people will quote the five solas today. Sorry, yes, hello.
Have a conversation.
Yes, of course, yes.
Okay. Do you not think there's a better way to spread your message?
No, I don't.
Why really? Do you think that?
Yes.
Preaching it like this is good.
Well, the Bible says that we're to preach. That's what God has called us to do. He sent us out here to preach the word of God. And if God says that it's right, it's right. Because the work of the gospel, the work of preaching this message of salvation through Jesus Christ, doesn't depend on what I'm doing or my strength. It depends on the power of God. This is a supernatural message and it comes with supernatural power. So if God appoints this.
If your Bible is in English, have you taken into account for the mistranslations of the Bible throughout history as it isn't a perfectly written
book? Absolutely. This is the King James Version. It's a beautiful translation. You can go and you can read all about the translators of the King James Version, their dedication to the truth. Now, I'll admit that there's no such thing as a perfect translation. But within God's plan for the nations, he allows for the Bible to be translated into every language, into every tongue, and to be used in the vernacular, that's in the local language, for his glory and for the preaching of his word. So, yes, but I always use a King James Version. People say, well, it's old English, it's old language. I have not found a Bible or a translation as powerful as this one or as beautiful as this one.
But even then, if you're going to take account of, are you going to say that abortions are bad, being gay is bad or whatever, you're going to have to take account that that in the Bible it says that women aren't allowed to speak in church and that you're not allowed to eat pork, you're not allowed to do all this.
Okay, right, you're
raised.
Okay, yes, the Bible does say that homosexuality is sin. Yes, the Bible calls abortion murder. That's why we need a saviour. That's why we need the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're all sinners. Those aren't the only sins. I can give you a very long list of what sins are.
You just like completely ignore my message.
No, I need to answer the second part of your question. The next question was this: women can't speak in the church. God has made us male and female. He's made men and women different. Now, we live in a generation that denigrates the role of women and makes out that women are somehow second-class citizens, and the only way that you can possibly have a fulfilled life is if you become like men. Well, that is nonsense. That is absolute nonsense.
But then you're like twisting the Bible. But the Bible says that women aren't allowed to speak in church. And you're saying, our societal thing is different now. But you need to like... But then that can...
The Bible says... Okay, the Bible tells us, it shows us that within the church, leadership is male. And that's been appointed by God, and I can't argue with that.
But God is gender neutral, technically. He never says that God is male. But
God isn't gender neutral. God is always revealed to us in the Bible as He, the Holy Spirit is He, Jesus Christ is He, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So God is always revealed from our point of view as male. But we need to remember that God made us. We didn't make Him. We can't say what God should be like. God is who He is, and He is infinite in His power and glory and majesty and holiness. And one day we must stand before God and give an account, and we need Jesus Christ. That's why we need a Saviour.
You said there's male and female, and God made men and female.
Yes.
What about intersex people who are born with both XX and XY chromosomes?
Right. The first thing is this. There's a number of different conditions which could be intersex, either from a genetic point of view or an anatomical point of view. Mm-hmm. But the thing is this. These are a very small number of people. They don't constitute a third sex. We would call this an abnormality. Because as human beings, we are geared towards our reproductive capacity. Let's put it that way. We're either male or female. So intersex people don't constitute a third sex or a different sex. We are either male or female, and what we are is determined biologically, not by what we think. I mean, if you watch the news, you'll know that this week there was a feminist called Maya Forstater who won a legal case this week. She's been sacked for saying that sex is biological and can't change. Now, if you were to ask people here today, almost everybody would agree with that.
Yes, sex is biological, but gender is a social construct, mainly created by the patriarchy to keep ruling over the people.
I've got opinions on that. Essentially, you can't have two things which clash in the way that you just said, and both of them survive. So you can't have gender as a social construct and sex as a biological reality. One of those must go. The Bible says that God made us male and female. Yeah. And if God made it that way, then that can't be changed. It simply cannot be changed. And you can't change it by inventing gender as a social construct. And I would argue that the patriarchy, or the bankers as we could call them, or the New World Order, whatever you want to call them, that they benefit from the gender fluid movement and all of these things, because they make money out of women by destroying who you are, created in the image of God as women, as females.
As the image of God, would that mean the image of God?
No. The Bible says that we're all created in the image of God. Whether we're male or female, we've got the image of God in us. It says this. This Bible, yes.
People burned at the stake, only a stone's throw from Westminster, learning a Bible in their own language.
Yeah, they were burned.
They were
burned at the stake for believing this. And I am in the same tradition of those men who were burnt at the stake because they stood up for the Bible over against the authority of the Pope.
They were burned at the stake by Sir Thomas More, who is now, I believe, a saint.
Well, Sir Thomas More believed the teachings of the Catholic Church, and the teachings of the Catholic Church are different from the teachings of the Bible. I go by what Jesus says, not by what the Pope says. And Jesus... Well, go and study it. You know, I mean, it's not just I just happened to pick up a Bible one day and thought, oh, that's cool. I've studied this myself. It is the Word of God, and this is what it teaches. We're made in the image of God. That's why abortion is wrong. You see, animals don't have souls, but we have souls. Why don't animals have souls? God hasn't given them souls.
But God made them.
God made them. The question is, why do you have a soul? God made you because He made you in His image for His glory. When we say that man is made in God's image, we're not saying that God has a body in the sense that we have a body or that He's male or female. What we're saying is that we were created moral creatures, accountable for our actions. So if we kill a child, we're killing somebody that's created in God's image.
It's a child,
the Bible is absolutely clear that life begins at conception, and therefore from conception you have a human being made in the image of God, and God calls it murder. That's why we need forgiveness. That's why we need to come back to God. God and find forgiveness, because he will even forgive us for the sin of murder if we come to him through Jesus Christ. But if we don't, there will be no forgiveness.
So removing a zygote, which is 3 or 4 cells, is classed as murder, but using antibacterial hand gel isn't, even though it kills thousands and thousands of, I think they're called protists.
And they're living
and they swim and they live, but using hand gel isn't murder, but abortion is.
Murder only applies to human beings. You can only murder a human being.
Because only
human beings are made in the image of God. But
who
made ducks? God made ducks.
I thought you said it was only human beings.
God made ducks. No, God made everything that we see in the universe. God made all of these creatures and everything. But he made man special. He made us for his glory. We've fallen into sin. We are corrupt in our hearts by nature. We have broken his commandments, and we need a saviour. And that saviour is Jesus Christ. And throughout history, there have been countless women and men who have found Jesus Christ to be their saviour. Like myself, I found him many years ago, but he is my saviour. And when you know Jesus Christ, if I were to die today, or if Jesus were to return today, I have nothing to fear from the judgment to come. Because there is a judgment to come and there is a hell to come. And that's what
I think that's very fair, because I didn't get asked to warn into this sin that you're telling me of. Yeah. I didn't ask to be here.
So the Bible says,
seek forgiveness from someone I don't know.
Well, if you don't seek forgiveness, you will die in your sin and you'll go to hell. The choice is yours. So what I'm saying is this, the Bible says, who are you to reply against God? You see, we should be thanking God for our life. And when God has shown us all of his love and revealed it in Jesus Christ, and you say, I walk away from Jesus, I'm not interested, I don't want that, and then you blame God, the blame is entirely on your own shoulders. God has done everything he possibly could to show us his love, to reveal his love towards us. And that's through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. Say again, sorry?
What did I do then?
Well, in a sense, what...
Is it my fault for being born?
Well, is it my fault for being born? What I know is this, that
you
I am...
You still think that you have to repay this person?
No, you can't repay it. That's the whole point. You have to believe on Jesus Christ, because we can't repay the debt that we owe God. Our sin is rebellion. You see, she mentioned two sins. She mentioned abortion and homosexuality. But what about lying? What about stealing? What about cursing? What about swearing? What about blaspheming God's name? What about the sin of blasphemy? Well, no, we're all sinners. You see, we all have sinful hearts.
Are you saying that shoplifting is the same as homosexuality?
I'm saying that shoplifting is breaking the commandment which says, thou shalt not steal. And God will cast the thief into hell, from his presence into hell. Why should God allow thieves into heaven? But if you've stolen and you repent of your sin, and believe on Jesus Christ as your Saviour, your sin is forgiven. That doesn't mean you can carry on stealing. You should stop stealing. But we're not saved by anything we do. We're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And this is important. God didn't have to send Jesus Christ into the world to save sinners. He could have cast everybody that ever lived into hell for sin, and his love wouldn't be compromised, his power wouldn't be compromised, his glory and righteousness would be upheld. But he chose to send Jesus into the world. And Jesus, being God also, chose to come into this world in obedience to his Father and die for sinners.
Except for the one time he incited a riot at a church.
Jesus went into the temple and overturned the tables. The temple was built by commandment of God, and those people were blaspheming God's name by their actions.
It would still damage your property, though.
Jesus Christ is entitled to do that. Jesus Christ is entitled to do that because he is the Son of God. The temple belongs to him. The worship belongs to him. And those who were sinning in that temple were provoking God to highly by their wickedness and their rebellion. They were taking the holy things of God and making merchandise of them, and that is a wicked thing. If I was standing here today and selling cheap idols of the Virgin Mary or something like that and making money out of that, that would be an equivalent, and that would be idolatry. It would be foolishness. By the way, Mary, who is the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, she was a sinner saved by grace too, and she's in heaven, but she's not the queen of heaven. She is a sinner saved by grace, just as I am. And we should follow her example. She said to people, whatever he says do. That was an incident where he turned water into wine. But we must go to Jesus, not to Mary. We must go to Jesus. You've got a question?
Yeah, you said God shows his love to all.
Yes.
But when I was barely a year old, I had a urinary tract infection and I almost died. When I was 8, my dad was diagnosed with brain cancer. When I was 9, he died not remembering who I was. By the time I was 11, my mother was on a second round of an eating disorder with anxiety, depression, suspected bipolar disorder, and I was suicidal. I don't think God really showed me his love.
God's sound very benevolent to me.
Okay, so God's answer to you, first of all, there's not one of us here today that hasn't got experiences like that in our life, including myself. So, you know, I could give you a list and say, well, you know, my suffering's worse than yours. There's no point in doing that. We all suffer in this world. The Bible shows us that whether we're to blame for it or not, all of our suffering is the fruit and the outcome of sin in our hearts, including disease. You know, brain cancer runs in my family. It's probably what's going to kill me as well. So, but Jesus is God's answer to that. Nobody suffered more than the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody was more innocent than Jesus. He never sinned. He never told a lie. He never lusted. He never swore. He never broke God's commandments. He always loved his Father in heaven perfectly and never broke his commandments. Jesus didn't have to die. Jesus was pure and perfect and holy. And when he died on that cross of Calvary, what the Bible tells us is that all the wrath and anger of God against sin was poured out on him. And therefore, he suffered more than anybody could ever suffer. There's no suffering you've suffered and Jesus hasn't suffered more than you. There's nothing you've been through that Jesus hasn't. And God is saying to you, this is my son. I gave you my son. What will you do with him? And if you believe in Jesus, your whole life will be transformed, turned upside down, turned around. It's completely different. Without Jesus Christ, we live for nothing. We might live for the next cereal on television. We might live for clothing. We might live for, some people down there are queuing for hours to get into McDonald's. I mean, how crazy is that? The point is here, when we live for Jesus, he said, I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundant. And that's what he gives. I said when we started this conversation, I said this is a supernatural religion. It's when God takes hold of you and he transforms you by his power. And that's what happens. This is power from the dead. It's the power of everlasting life. And when a person comes to know Jesus Christ, the power of God comes into their life in a remarkable way. Something you cannot imagine unless you know it. But we must repent of our sin and we must turn to Jesus. All of those bad things that happen to you don't in any sense take away your guilt for your own sin before God.
I've never felt guilty for it.
Well, the Bible says that whether you feel guilty or not, you have. You know you have. And I have no idea about your life, and apart from what you've told me. I know nothing about your life, and I'm not singling you out. But the fact is this, God looks at the heart. He knows everything you've done. If you've ever sworn, then you have got what we call, the Bible says their throat is an open tomb. Swearing is the language of death. It's a language of rebellion against God. And the swearing that we do shows that we are rebels. We are rebels against God, that we hate God in our hearts. And that's what you are. You hate God in your heart. You don't see it, you don't know it, but you hate God in your heart because you don't want to have him to reign over you. And yet,
as an anarchist, I'm not really.
Well, maybe you're wrong. Maybe you're thinking wrongly. Maybe Satan is teaching you to think wrongly.
I'm going to say it if you're wrong.
So it's her turn. Sorry.
Just going to say, as a social anarchist, I'm not really part of the whole power construct, so I'm going to go. Also, I'm very gay.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
Have you ever thought about what if you're wrong?
Yes, I often think about what would happen if I was wrong, but so convinced am I that Jesus Christ is the answer. I mean, she talks about, you know, the social power construction, things like this, but this generation is crumbling because we don't know the difference between right and wrong. This generation is crumbling because we've forsaken God, we've forsaken his commandments, but most of all, we've forsaken the knowledge of his salvation, because the salvation of God comes to us through Jesus Christ and through what he has done.
Shabbat shalom.
I saw you. You were listening.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Okay. You were standing right in front of me and you looked as though you were listening.
Yeah, we were.
It's not a crime to listen to a gospel preacher. It's good to listen to a gospel preacher because we're telling you what can give you life and change your hearts and change your lives and make you whole and give you salvation and give you everlasting life. Yeah, salvation is averse to hell, fire and torment. But you should care about salvation because you're going to die. You're going to die.
I want to die.
Well, you might want to die, but you might not want to be in hell when you get there, but there'll be nothing you can do about it. Well, okay, if you're a Satanist, I'll tell you something absolutely. Satan is a loser, and that makes you a loser.
Satan means love yourself, sweetheart. Just
saying. Satanism means do as thou wilt, and if you do as thou wilt, you're going to end up in hell. You see? Now, Jesus Christ, do you know something? Do you know that Jesus crushed Satan's head? Do you know that Jesus destroyed the works of the devil? Do you know that Jesus is going to take Satan and cast him into hell?
I don't believe in Jesus.
I thought it was already there.
Well, that's very strange. That's really strange. You're a very strange Satanist, because I thought Satanists did. Now, that is vandalism. Satanists believe in Jesus Christ.
I don't. I'm a Satanist.
Well, okay, well, I can tell you then, for your information, that Jesus Christ has destroyed the works of the devil. Jesus Christ defeated Satan. Satan hates you. Satan is a murderer from the beginning. Satan is a liar.
And
Satan, no. God has so loved the world. Actually, I do remember you, but I can't remember what you said. Hello. Yes, I remember you. Yes, I remember your face. That's good. Yes.
But,
What have you got a question today? Okay, try and think of one, and I'll answer it.
What do you think about me going to the male
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. Why is homosexuality always the first question that a preacher gets asked in this generation? Well, no, your friends did bring it up. You said you were gay. You see, the answer is this. Yes, you have a question.
Why do you not like abortion?
Because I love life, firstly. But because the Bible says it's a shedding of innocent blood.
What about that life? Is that not worthy?
Well, okay, that is.
Go on.
We should not. It is tragic when somebody commits suicide. But nobody should commit suicide because they're pregnant. The problem is not that they're pregnant. The problem is that something else is leading to commit suicide.
Then how is homosexuality against God? Because technically, being a lesbian, bearing in mind that no one has
because
like, the male genitalia, sort of stops you from getting pregnant.
Right. Okay. So it's against God because it's against nature. God made nature, and man wasn't created to do the things that sodomites do. Lesbians weren't created to do the things that lesbians do. The Bible talks about them burning in lust. It doesn't call it love, it calls it lust. And also, it's inordinate affection. We were created to love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, but God has made men and women completely different so that they should be complementary to each other so that they can love each other and serve God together. So when a woman loves a woman in a lustful way, or a man loves a man in a lustful way, that is rebellion against God. And what the Bible shows us is that all of us, because of sin, run from God. Some run into Satanism, some run into sexual immorality and impurity. But all of us are running from God, hiding from God in the furthest places we can find until we turn back to Him and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm very sorry you're smoking because that's going to destroy your lungs. And you will regret it.
No, I won't. Can I play you a song?
So if you play a song, I will carry on preaching. It's great to appreciate. It's lovely to talk to you. Thank you. Please read the Bible for yourselves. Remember, Satan is a loser who's been destroyed and defeated, and that if you follow Satan, then you are the loser.
I am a loser.
So the Bible says.
The Bible says
that where the losers close.
Okay, fine. Okay, it's a real pleasure talking to you. Okay.
Yeah, thanks. We've made friends now.
I can't tell you whether they're good friends or not. You'll have to get to know them.
You made us stronger.
It's humiliating.
Because he's a transphobe. Do you think I'm a very valid male?
Looking at you, you look like an elf.
I'm not an elf. I don't have.
Oh, you've taken the pointy ears off. Okay, right. You had pointy ears on a second ago.
No, they're mine.
Okay.
These are mine.
No.
Okay.
Right. So let me ask you a question. Why do you dress like an elf?
Because I feel like it.
Okay, but elves aren't real, are they?
You're saying man.
Yeah, got it.
Why do you dress like a street
Yeah, okay.
Man?
Okay, I can't see any elves here in Hull today, and I can tell you this.
Well,
you can't change sex, and you can't be a member of the opposite sex. I see the pointy ears are back on now. Yes. Okay, you cannot change sex, and you cannot be a member of the...
Yes,
you can't.
Yes, I can.
Yeah, you can.
No,
you can't. God has made them male and female,
If God makes no mistakes, why did he make trannies?
The answer is this: nobody can change sex. It's not possible.
I did.
You couldn't.
I'm pretty sure we all.
You can't change sex, and if you think you can change sex, it's because somebody, including Satan, has lied to you about that. You cannot change sex.
Trans people and gay people in the Bible.
There are no trans people I've come across in the Bible. There are gay people in the Bible. There are no trans people. Homosexuality is described in the Bible as sin.
Jesus was trans.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, seated on the throne of heaven, in all of the glory that belongs to Almighty God. All the glory that belongs to Almighty God.
In the new version of the Bible,
it says somebody called gays.
Yeah, well, that isn't God's version of the Bible. The Bible says that the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And we need to get back to the Bible. We need to get back to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get back to the truth instead of this ridiculous lie that somebody can change sex. If they fill you with hormones and cut your genitals off, that does not make you a woman. It can never make you a woman.
Say hello, bestie boo.
You are either male or female. You cannot
I'm
be otherwise.
Actually.
You can be non-binary. That is your own self-assertion. But you are either male or female. You see, there's no. You see, this non-binary stuff is nonsense. It's nonsense. You cannot change biological reality. You cannot. No, absolutely rubbish.
Mushrooms are non-binary.
Absolutely, yes. And you, what are you? Are you better than a mushroom? Are you any different from mushroom? You're a human being created in the image of God, created for his glory. And one day you will stand before the judgment throne of Almighty God and give an account and give an answer. Well, believe me, there are no atheists in hell. There are no atheists in hell. God is the eternal creator of all things. And God will pour out his wrath on this generation. He will pour out. God poured out fire and brimstone and Sodom and Gomorrah for their sins. And he will pour out his wrath upon this city, upon the city of Hull for our sins. Unless we repent, unless we turn. We need to repent and turn and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
You just said atheists go to heaven then. Atheists don't believe in God.
No, I didn't. I said atheists won't go to heaven. I said there's no atheists in hell. There are no atheists in hell. You see, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. So if we say there's no God, that God calls us a fool. Sorry. Well, the interesting thing is that, well, first of all, you can't baptize a baby. Baptism in the Bible is for those who believe in Jesus, and the baby can't believe in Jesus. The Bible is silent about what happens to the children who die in infancy, so I have nothing more to say on the subject. You can study the Bible for yourself. You are grown up, and you have a soul, and you can choose to follow Jesus Christ by the grace of God, and you need to turn and you need to repent.
You're saying there's a
and believe on him and believe on Jesus.
There's a Bible for every religion. It's just called something different. So I can read the Satanist Bible.
You can read the Satanist Bible, but it won't get you anywhere other than to hell.
Yes, it will.
This is the word of God. This is the word of God. And the word of God, the Bible, God's Bible, God's word, which I'm holding in my hand, is able to make us wise unto salvation. Wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Jesus Christ. You see? I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you because they're hogging the conversation, and I thought that you might want to ask a question yourself.
Okay. If you can convert me right here, I will repent and I will turn to Jesus.
Okay. And what if I can't? What if I can't convert anybody?
Then I walk away.
Okay. Well, I tell you, the only person that converts people is God the Holy Spirit, and I am not God the Holy Spirit. I am a humble, sinful man who has sinned against God, but has found the salvation of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But you need to cry out to God. You shouldn't ask me that. You should be asking God that. You should cry out to him, Lord, if you are there, have mercy on me and save me from my sin. You are asking me to do something that I can't do. No, I'm not even going to try. I'm only going to say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved.
We have a question.
Do you support gays then?
What do you mean support?
Love the sin and not the sin.
You can't. You cannot practice homosexuality.
I don't have
and you cannot. Okay, right. You see, in the Bible, what you find in the New Testament church is some homosexual people who repented of their sin and became Christians, and they forsook their sin. They put away their homosexuality, and they followed Jesus. You cannot... Homosexuality is a wicked sin before Almighty God, and you need to repent of it, and you need to turn from it.
Actually, I have a fact.
Sorry, I think you had a question. We've got to be fair. We've got to let them answer questions.
My priest at church near my house, because I don't live it, is gay. What are you going to say about that?
Well, first of all, there's no priesthood, and secondly, homosexuality is an abomination to God. Jesus Christ did away with the priesthood.
You see, your animals gay then?
Well, but animals cease to exist. God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to recreate. I believe he's going to recreate dodos and things like that. The God who created all these things. But when an animal dies, that's the end. I had a lovely dog, and I loved that dog, but it died. That was the end. I'm sad about that. That was the end. When you die, you will either go to heaven or go to hell. The animals cease to exist.
Sir, if you believe in Jesus and stuff, Virgin Mary was a virgin. She didn't make elf chromosomes. If you believe Jesus was a boy, then he's trans. If we need to support trans people.
No, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. No, that's not like sexual relations. That's something different. That is a direct, sovereign, powerful, creative act and work of Almighty God.
No.
So it's got nothing to do with what you're saying.
Yeah, okay.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
But see, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He is God incarnate. Okay, I'd rather hear a question from these first, because you've been hogging the conversation.
But hail Satan means love yourself. So hail Satan.
Hail Satan means you're lost on the road to hell and you're following a loser. Satan is a loser, a liar, and a murderer from the beginning. Sorry, your question.
I'm just saying,
yes, but man, we're not animals. It makes absolutely no difference. I mean, I would say more on the subject, but the fact is, we cannot look for moral examples to the animals. We cannot be taught our morality from animals. We need to be taught the truth, and we need to be taught morality by Almighty God, and that's what you get in this book, the Bible. And when we find that, that's why we find we're sinners. We've broken God's commandments. It doesn't matter what the animals do. What matters is what we do and what God says about it. And he says that homosexuality is sin.
If only God can change gender, does that mean I am God?
God cannot change gender. God is not like man. God is not a man. I mean, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. No, God is always described in the scripture in the male gender. But God created the universe. God created everything in the universe. God is not like us. But he sent his son to die so that if we believe in Jesus... Read the Bible for yourself. Read this book.
God's not a man.
Fantastic.
God's not a girl.
Fantastic. Get a King James Version.
When are you going to be here next?
I try and be here every Saturday, but I can't.
I'll see you next Saturday then.
Okay, I'll see you as well. I can't guarantee that. But I'll try and be here next Saturday at the same time.
Do you want my trans flag?
All of the instances of polygamy within the Bible.
Okay, you come back, you tell them about me, and I will talk to you about it.
Can I say one thing? You said God's not a man, and you also said God's not a girl. That means God's non-binary.
Oh my God,
can we do
that? No, God is God. God is not a man. God is eternal. God reigns in the heavens. God is a spirit. Bye-bye, everybody. Nice to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, that was good, and there was less swearing than before. I just feel so inadequate when I do this, but the Lord is with us and helps us. So, there we are. We were able to preach that message. We were able to say the things that we said, and thank God for that. We were able to talk to about five or six of these young girls here. You can hear the questions they're asking. These are the questions we have to address as gospel preachers in this day. These are questions that wouldn't have been answered perhaps 100 years ago or even 20 years ago in my experience. But if we don't address these people, we don't address these questions, if we don't hit them head on with the word of God, we can't be witnesses. We can't be witnesses. And I'm also rejoicing that I was able to preach to the march of Palestinians or pro-Palestinian people who were peaceful in their march, let's say that, and who were entitled to protest and who didn't cause me any trouble at all, and I thank God for that. The police were here too, and God kept them distracted, and I was pretty glad about that, although I pray for them that they'd find the Lord Jesus too. Let's pray. Father, bless this city of Hull. Have mercy, Lord. You can see how confused the young people are because they've been taught unprofitable things which they believe to be true but which are lies from Satan. Father, come down in convicting power. That girl who said she'd read the Bible, I pray that she would. Father, bring conviction of sin and of righteousness and judgment on this city. Oh, that people would tremble at your word. Oh, that people would cry out, have mercy on me, a sinner. Oh, that people would know what sin is, that we'd know who Jesus Christ, your son, is. And oh, that people would turn to him, that they would find him, that they would follow him, and that they would live for his glory, that they would find your salvation before that day when, as the lightning flashes from the east and to the west, the Lord Jesus returns on the clouds of heaven in glory and in the glory which belongs to you alone. And Lord, forgive me in my weakness and my difficulty in answering questions. I pray that you'd strengthen me and other men like me, strengthen that other preacher, David, who comes here and has been so hassled by the police here in Hull, and Lord, yet faithful with his burden for those who are perishing, his love for those who are lost, his determination to lift up the name of Jesus. Bless him in his evangelistic work and use him for your glory as well. And me too, Lord, and others preaching the gospel today. Bless the work of the Christian Legal Center, who have done such fantastic work in defending legally open-air preachers who've been arrested and who've been hassled and who've been persecuted by the very government that should be upholding Christianity. So Father, bless this witness today and have mercy on this city. And now, Lord, bless this tape recording as well as it goes out to others. I pray that it would be a means of, I pray it would be a fire in the wood pan, a spark igniting the hearts of Christians who listen to this, whether it be on the Christian Sermons and Audio website or Sermon Audio, wherever it may be. Lord Jesus, use this message for the honour of your name and for the glory of your name and for the furtherance of your kingdom, and fire up your people. Get us out of the churches, Lord. Get us into the streets. Get us into the places where people will hear the word, and give us a cutting edge of gospel preaching ministry. And this I ask and pray in Jesus' precious name and for his glory and honour. Amen.